I think diaspora has so much power and influence in this crisis, especially in the beginning, in terms of like comments on social media, like hate speech, mm-hmm. also organizing very divisive events, fundraising for the crisis, but then using it in a negative way. The community, I think, in diaspora should focus more efforts on unity and peace, on forging closer bonds with other communities in their countries. I think that there need to be less divisions among communities, especially the war has brought a lot of divisions among some communities in diaspora. So diaspora should really focus on having activities that brings them together, and then also also support the current peace process. Despite their feelings or their thoughts about mm-hmm. how it may go, I think having a more positive mind and trying to not fuel the conflict as much as a lot of them have done, mm-hmm. That will aid the process.
Right. Yes, and I mean, people in the diaspora, as we, they have a platform that they can communicate to the people. Most of them have gone to school, they're educated, and do you think they could have done much more than what they are doing at the moment in basically uniting the people back home for the cause of, you know, for the good cause of the country and not for individual politicians or parties? I mean, do you think the diaspora could do more than what they're already doing?
I do think there's room for it. As I did mention, you know, a lot of diasporas were involved in a lot of the hate speech and fueling a lot of things through Facebook and Facebook Live videos on Facebook, and you know, doing it to, I guess, fuel the crisis, and mostly because they're not there in person, present on the ground. Mm-hmm. But I do think some people in diaspora are making efforts. Like, for example, South Sudan Unite is a really good, really, really good platform. Like, I had the honor of co-hosting it in Phoenix, Arizona in July. And I felt like that kind of a platform is actually really good for bringing people together, because it brought a lot of South Sudanese together from all over the United States.
Right.
So those kind of events are things that we should consider.
Hmm. Right. Now, as you mentioned, you've been on various platforms in the region and also around the world, speaking to the youth about the need for peace. What are the challenges in interacting with these youth while ensuring that the message of peace sticks?
Some of the major challenges, especially with youth, and which I found in East Africa, is that the youth can be very divisive as well. I feel like the youth are being utilized as a tool by a lot of politicians. Even in this country, it's the youth who are fighting on the front lines, mm-hmm. and it's also the youth in, you know, in even in this country and in diaspora, who are being used to basically spread propaganda messages or spread hate, you know, writing essays on Facebook all day long, mm-hmm. sometimes Facebook videos. The youth are being used as a tool mm-hmm. for division, and that's one of the challenges that we have. That's one of the challenges that we definitely faced last year when we were doing our regional tour in East mm-hmm. Africa.
Right.
Now, tomorrow, Wednesday, hopefully government and the opposition is expected to sign a final peace deal to end the conflict in South Sudan. In your view, what are the most critical steps that remains for the implementation if this peace is signed tomorrow?
I think one of the things that we're missing is that some groups did not sign. That's one of the potential catalysts for failure of this peace agreement. Some groups have been excluded. Also, some groups have been signing with hesitation. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, you cannot have full peace if there's no ceasefire. So until there and all parties are being committed to a ceasefire, I find it very difficult to see this peace being implemented. It's a great effort, but I feel like that this peace agreement is just being shifted around the region, mm-hmm. and we are running out of options. But I think it's really important for us to also you know, to appreciate that efforts are being done for it, but then also we have to be very realistic about that some groups have been shut out and some groups mm-hmm. will not be signing and some groups will not have the right intention.
Right.
So,
now, mm-hmm.
yeah, go ahead.
It's all right. You can follow up.
Yes, as all these challenges you put, some groups are not there and some also have been signing with reservations. And tomorrow, well, the IGAD, a meeting in Addis and all this, and finally, the they're going to sign anyway eventually. So what happens? I mean, what should be done from here to ensure that this peace the South Sudanese can really enjoy, because they needed it so much?
Yeah, we really do need it. I think we're all really tired of decades-long crisis. We actually need a ceasefire that's actually being upheld, you know? And I feel like the ceasefires, you know, there's been so many agreements that have been signed, and so many agreements look great on paper, but there is no real implementation if the guns don't fall silent. So unless there is something to ensure that, okay, anyone who violates ceasefires will suffer real consequences for it, I just don't see the peace being implemented. I just feel like it's just something on paper, but you know, as long as that's not going to happen, as long as there's no provision of you know, ceasefire, then I don't see how it's going to work.
Wow. And we have to cross our fingers and hoping that the peace deal will finally come out. Now, finally, Adio, youth are also seen as critical to the achievement of the UN's broader 2030 development agenda, particularly regarding gender equality and human rights. So what do you think are the synergies that needs to be put in place as policy making and implementation between the 2030 agenda and the recent resolution in elevating the voices of the young people?
I think youth need more representation, and youth need to be given the opportunity to participate more, and the youth who are presently participating need to be included more, because in order for us to even reach any of these agendas, it's really important that we have very competent policymakers, and that also that the voices of the grassroots are being considered, because otherwise we're not going to move forward in the agenda. So the importance is, of course, I mean, it's good that, you know, the youth are slowly being elevated. I think in the recent agreement we're given like a certain percentage, but I think those things need to be honored, and not just honored, those things need to be monitored and implemented as well. Like, we have to make sure that the youth who are going to be present in those areas are also going to be competent enough to ensure that we reach at least some of the agendas.
Right. Now, finally, just before you go, I'm going back to the piece that is expected to be signed, because that's something I'm really, really so passionate about it as well. The role of the youth, if finally signed, the role of the youth going forward, because you mentioned earlier the youth are the one participating in the front lines. They contributed in the fighting in 2013, in 2016. Up to now, what is going on in the country, many youth are contributing as they are being used by the politicians for their personal gain. Of course, what should the youth do now going forward if this country is to go the right direction?
I think a lot of youth, in my personal view, I think a lot of youth, they don't want crisis. They don't want war. They don't want the violence. But I think there's a lot of them that are just lacking opportunities, and they don't know which other better way to get opportunities, to get further in life. I don't think the society is very merit-based, and I don't think the society is very forgiving to people who don't have anything. So I think the youth will definitely, if they are given the opportunities to change their lives, they'll do it, because you can even go to cattle camps or any of the very rural areas, and you can ask them, like, why do they have, you know, why are they holding guns? And they'll be saying, like, there's no security, you know, we don't have security, or we're being raided, or there's communal clashes and we have to defend ourselves. And you know that they want a different and better lives for themselves. I don't think we should see them as, I don't think we should see ourselves as youth as people who want violence and who want the war to continue. I just see ourselves as victims in this war.